said, you think this was staged? And he goes, that's too simple. What does stage mean? He goes, probably an op. Meaning it was a real shooter, but they know it's coming. They basically stand down. Yeah. But people say stage, it means like it didn't happen. No, I think it did happen. We'll investigate that coming up this hour. And I'm going to have to table this incredible stuff on the spying and kill switches and driverless cars, because I haven't gotten to the real meat and potatoes yet. But the point that Danny made was his Hyundai does this, where if he's looking down too much, says, hey, are you tired? Beep, beep, beep. I'm going to pull over. You're tired. This stuff is already in place. And if angels ran it, it'd be fine. But notice they can't find the child kidnappers. They can't find out what happened, you know, with Charlie Kirk shooting. They don't know any of that. But boy, they can sure keep track of us. Now, hands down, this is the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. And it just so happens Bigly lined us up for this week with all these products that just came in a month ago. And so it's fitting that at the closing of the original InfoWars, we're doing this blowout. So I looked at the sale yesterday that they were set up. I said, this is the biggest sale ever. I said, you got to call it, you know, the Last Stand InfoWars mega blowout sale. And so this is hands down the biggest ever. This happens every month where there's a one-week period where you can win both of the cars in the sweepstakes, the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer and $20,000 cash. Every order, every dollar spent, you put in 100 times. That's only the last week. That goes till next Friday to win these. And most people that win do it in the last week. Just a little tip. We're also giving you free $10 to use on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. That offer ends tonight. Free InfoWars dog tag. It's a cool InfoWars limited edition dog tag. There's only 3,000 of these, but the next 3,000 orders get one thrown in free. And I got some methylene blue on that, sorry. But if you look right here, overhead shot, you see InfoWars with the Betsy Ross flag. And on the back, stained by methylene blue, you are the resistance. So it's a cool little memento that's thrown in as well. But then it just gets even more crazy. There's a pre-sale, because you're coming in a few weeks, but for any InfoWars items, you got to get them in the next 4 days. Silver round and Faraday bag, just like the last Faraday bag that sold out in 3 days. It's the same Faraday bag, but it has the Punisher on it, saying resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. That is a huge value, and you get a limited edition InfoWars silver round coin with it for $249. These bags sell in stores for $400, $500 all day. Protects all your electronics. You can't be tracked with it. So that is so essential. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. You are the resistance. And the limited edition final InfoWars coin. That is an amazing deal. And VIPs get it even at a lower price. And then InfoWars product fundraiser. April 30th is your last chance to get official InfoWars products. We're still be battling them in court, but I'd say about a 90% chance that's the end of the original InfoWars logos, T-shirts, ball caps, all of it. The InfoWar is eternal and continues on, but InfoWars.com, that incarnation will be seized by the bad guys and the Bloomberg-funded vowed Satanist over at The Onion. So take advantage of that. Get all the T-shirts, ball caps, everything right now. And there's other big sales on the incredible methylene blue, bovine colostrum, methylene red, and everything else. But now is the time, a major fundraiser. And this is only running through Thursday night at midnight. And then one more day, you can be put in to win both the vehicles on Friday. So there's a lot of overlapping sales here. The $10 at checkout automatically taken off your bill. That's been running since last Thursday. That ends tonight. There's a whole bunch of sales, new sales being added every day. So be sure and check thealexjonesstore.com. And right there on the main page, you can also watch and listen to the show and find the show at thealexjonesstore.com. So that is a one-stop shop jump point in the fight against the globalists. So take action now, thealexjonesstore.com. You're the reason we fought through all this and never surrendered, leaving it all in the field. And we're going to be doing reviews of the great history of InfoWars, incredible victories we've had together coming up in the next few days. But this is a victory, not a time of sorrow. We have wrecked the enemy, and we've just got it started. We'll be right back. Now go to thealexjonesstore.com. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you.
Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, lawyer and former Canadian now living in Florida, very popular talk show host, Viva Fry, will be riding the shotgun with us for the rest of the hour. We were going to be mainly speaking about what happened Friday at the correspondence dinner. Was it staged? Was it an op? What does that mean? We'll be looking at the angles and new developments. And it just goes to show the public does not believe anything they're told anymore, because the majority of people I know and what I see online, almost no one is buying the official story. Me, it looks like a crazy that came in and ran to the first line of security, low security, which is his own scandal. Was there a stand down? People say stage, it means like it didn't even happen. No, I think something happened, but there is something very fishy here. We'll talk to Viva Fry, who's got a very good analytical mind, in a moment. But it just started, so let's go to a few minutes of Caroline Levitt, who's about to take maternity leave, speaking about the latest developments and the charging of this individual. Here it is.
Such repeated, serious attempts on his life. First and foremost, the president, the first lady, and everyone in this White House are extraordinarily grateful to the brave law enforcement professionals who sprang into action to apprehend the would-be assassin and keep all of us safe. The president would especially like to express his gratitude to the men and women of the United States Secret Service who acted with the utmost professionalism, courage, and sense of duty. This includes the heroic agent who took a bullet to the chest. Thankfully, he was saved by his bulletproof vest. Minutes after returning here to the White House, to the Oval Office, despite fighting Secret Service to try to stay and keep the dinner going on Saturday, ahead of addressing you here in the briefing room, President Trump was intent on speaking to this brave agent to ensure he was okay. And the agent assured the president that he was. As you know, I was seated next to President Trump and the First Lady when the shots were fired before Secret Service swiftly moved us to safety backstage. The president's calm in the face of chaos, while yet another individual was trying to take his life, was really remarkable to witness, and it's something I will never forget. President Trump is fearless because he loves this country, and he is willing to put his own life on the line to deliver on the promises that he made to the American public who elected him here into the highest office in the land. And while we are blessed to have a fearless president, we should not live in a country where such constant fear of political violence permeates our society every single day. We can and we should have fierce disagreement in this country. As you all know, we disagree often, myself in this role and all of you in the news media. But those disagreements must remain peaceful. Debating, peaceful protesting, and voting are how we need to settle disagreements, not bullets. Nobody in recent years has faced more bullets and more violence than President Trump. This political violence stems from a systemic demonization of him and his supporters by commentators, yes, by elected members of the Democrat Party, and even some in the media. This hateful and constant and violent rhetoric directed at President Trump day after day after day for 11 years has helped legitimize this violence and bring us to this dark moment. Those who constantly, falsely label and slander the president as a fascist, as a threat to democracy, and compare him to Hitler to score political points are fueling this kind of violence. The left-wing cult of hatred against the president and all of those who support him and work for him has gotten multiple people hurt and killed, and it almost did so again this weekend. When you read the manifesto of this shooter, ask yourselves, how different is the rhetoric from this almost assassin than what you read on social media and hear in various forums every single day? The answer, if you're being honest with yourself, is that there is no difference at all. Much of the manifesto of the would-be assassin is indistinguishable from the words that we hear daily from so many. For example, as the First Lady of the United States pointed out this morning, just 2 days prior to the shooting, ABC's late-night host Jimmy Kimmel disgustingly called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. Who in their right minds says a wife would be glowing over the potential murder of her beloved husband? And having experienced what I did with the First Lady on Saturday night, I can tell you that she was anything but that. This kind of rhetoric about the president, the First Lady, and his supporters is completely deranged, and it's unbelievable that the American people are consuming it night after night after night. As President Trump said on Saturday night at this podium, we as Americans must recommit ourselves to resolving our differences peacefully and uniting around the shared values that make our country great. The deranged lies and smears against the president, his family, his supporters have led crazy people to believe crazy things, and they are inspired to commit violence because of those words. It has to stop. And one more point. Saturday night served as yet another reminder of how important it is to fund the Department of Homeland Security. It is shameful that the United States Congress has kept this vital agency defunded for 73 days, the longest shutdown of a federal agency in U.S. history. The Secret Service is a vital component of DHS. It has been directly impacted by this reckless political gamesmanship. Everyone in this room who was there on Saturday night witnessed the heroes of Secret Service and federal law enforcement jump into action in the face of grave danger and uncertainty. Agents put their own lives in harm's way to protect the president, the first lady, the vice president, and members of the cabinet. One agent can be seen in video footage literally jumping onto the stage, not knowing where the attacker was or where the bullets were coming from at that point, to place his body in front of the president of the United States. These men and women are heroes.
All right, so that's a live press conference. We know the Democrats want to kill Trump. And people are trying to say Butler was staged. I've seen that was real. But did they then cover up an accomplice, another shooter? Did they cover up his background? 100%. Did Charlie Kirk get killed? Yeah. That'll be a 30-odd-6. Bullet didn't go through his throat? No. Through his neck. Did I first break that Kash Patel said he didn't want the Office of National Intelligence and the Office of Counterterrorism to investigate? Yep, it came out. What I told you was exactly what happened. I was told that by the people that were scared to say it themselves, who were there in the meeting. So there is cover-ups going on, but to say it's staged, what does that mean? They had lax security. They were standing around. The guy was able to run through the metal detectors. They stopped him before he got in the ballroom. They caught cops outside asleep in their cars. What does that mean? That the whole thing didn't happen? That Trump knew it was coming? I don't know. But there's a bigger issue of the public doesn't believe anything they're told because the system has lost all credibility, not just here, but around the world. Now, somebody I really respect, former CIA officer Larry Johnson, has laid out why he thinks it was staged. He says he thinks. He doesn't know. But he thinks, we'll ask Viva Fry his take on this in a moment. We got a lot of other issues hit with him as well, like the kill switches in all the cars, not just here, but now around the Western world, where that's going from a legal standpoint. It's so incredibly Orwellian. I'm just glad it's getting massive attention now. It's one of the top trends. When they passed the law, no one would even believe what was happening 5 years ago. But here's Larry Johnson with Mario Nafal.
Well, first that he went running through the checkpoint. Nobody grabbed him or shot him. And that... one of the facts, you quote, I'll put quotation marks, facts, is that he was shot. There's no evidence that he was shot. That is the thing that first drew my attention. Actually, it was the second thing.
And they later admitted he wasn't
shot.
See
him handcuffed, laying on the ground. There are no bullet holes in him, at least in his torso. With in a situation like that, where you've got a guy with a visible firearm shooting, then you use deadly force. You stop it. You put him down. You shoot him in the torso, you shoot him in the head. He wasn't shot. he was just tackled. That, you know, that's, there's something wrong with that. That right off the bat.
He wasn't, sorry to ask a silly question, but from, I know there were shots fired. You're saying the suspect was not shot whatsoever, or?
Yeah, I haven't seen any evidence of it whatsoever. You know,
that would be bizarre.
Yeah, you don't see. You know, so he's laying there handcuffed on the ground. Do you see an EMT over him administering first aid? No.
That's a good point.
Where's the, you know, because normally you can go on to, there's a channel, it's called Active Self-Protection. They show lots of videos of police shootings. And inevitably, when the police shoot a guy, put him down, they immediately start doing CPR, life-saving maneuvers. They just handcuff this guy, and he's laying face down. No signs of bleeding whatsoever. So that's the first thing. The second thing, though, is who was the first person escorted off the stage?
Jade.
Is that the number one guy on the stage is Donald Trump, not J.D. Vance? Donald Trump should, the Secret Service should have been all over. Look at this. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, 1005, 1006, 1007, 1008. So we got at least 15 seconds before the Secret Service respond. Actually, it's more like 30 seconds before the Secret Service responds to get Donald Trump off the stage. What the hell is that? That's not protocol. And I called up one of my buddies, old friend, good Lord, known him 35 years, Larry Cunningham. Larry was he was put in charge of Ronald Reagan's Secret Service detail after Reagan was shot. So about 6 months after Reagan was shot and recovered, Larry was put in charge of his detail. Larry went on to develop the training protocols and standards for Secret Service. And he's just like, he's saying, man, this is broken. The Secret Service is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So this isn't just Larry Johnson. You know, I've been around enough to know what should be done. But, you know, I saw that and said, that's wrong. And he confirmed it. And I confirmed it with another buddy of mine who was a member of the FBI hostage rescue team. And then later did a lot of contract work with CIA. So, you know, I'm talking to guys who are security professionals, who've been around enough, who've been in shooting incidents. And that's the thing that these two, my two friends, they go, how does this guy not get shot? He should have been lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, you know, they should have been, they could have used him as a Swiss cheese model after getting filled in with that much lead. They didn't shoot him, or if they shot him, got shot in the legs. But again, you're not, even if your leg's shot, you get the bullet in the right place. You sever a femoral artery, you're potentially bleeding out. You saw no urgency on the part of EMTs trying roll him over. Let's get, you know, examined. You don't see that. I think this thing was staged. I'll say it up front. This was staged. This was. It had some political purpose, whether it was designed to make Donald Trump look sympathetic, whatever. I'm not saying that this guy knew he was part of a staged incident, but he got played into doing it.
Yeah, he's saying there's a stand down. That has a lot of credibility. When I said not staged, I mean a shooting happened, this went on. I don't think the cops were in on it, but I agree with what he's saying. That's where all the evidence points towards. And you have Levitt saying shots will be fired tonight. Well, that's what you say about arguments or, you know, people fight with each other verbally. I don't think that adds credibility. But what does is Fox News calls mysteriously ends before Caroline Leavitt's husband's warning. And he's sitting there with a female reporter saying, be safe tonight. This could be dangerous here. So this needs to be answered. That's a lot bigger than her saying shots fired. All right, thanks for letting me do a 10-minute intro, Viva Fry, with all the great work you do with your popular show and research and, you know, obviously legal background. Looking at this, what do you think's going on?
Well, it's a problem. The reality is nobody's going to believe anything, and that is a sign of the times that we're in, is that no matter what happens, people are going to complain, criticize, or say it was staged, faked, whatever. Listening to Larry Johnson, all I'm saying here, watching him, you know, say it was staged because the guy wasn't lit up like a Christmas tree, If it's staged, why wouldn't they light him up like a Christmas tree? They're going to leave a guy who was a patsy
just like
alive?
They got rid of Crooks because there was a second shooter. That's what I said, yeah.
Well,
the Secret Service said there were a bunch of people behind them. They didn't want to kill innocent people.
Well, so that's my understanding as to why the shots might have been minimal is that there's friendly fire. But Larry makes a good point. Like, you take out the threat to the extent he's running in with a gun. And, you know, now that I've read his manifesto, and in his manifesto, he says, I'll be dead unless the Secret Service is grossly incompetent and don't kill me, basically, is what he was suggesting. But if it was staged in the sense that, you know, this is all a big orchestrated event, you would think they would kill him. The fact that he didn't get killed might be a sign that security didn't act fast enough or lethal enough. But, you know, when people say staged, also let it happen on purpose, made it happen on purpose. You can always say that. But the bottom line is if you come out within 5 minutes and you say this is staged without any more evidence than that, everybody's been sort of, I say, radicalized or beaten into this seeing conspiracy theories everywhere in the absence of any evidence to support it. It's the default position. The reality, it looks like this kid is a radicalized lefty lunatic who decided to come in from California, realized that it's better to take the train because you don't get checked for firearms, checks into the hotel. And the other reality is that I don't view this necessarily as a security failure. It was a security success, and I'll put that in quotes, for the threat that they were facing, which was an ill-equipped, ill-trained, mentally unwell, radicalized idiot LARPing as a Grand Theft Auto assassin and who thought he's going to rain terror by running through a checkpoint when in reality he's not going to get very far. So it's a security success for the level of the threat that they've faced. The issue becomes, what if you face a threat that's actually far more trained, far more capable than some radicalized lefty loon who got, you know, radicalized on Blue Sky because he's, you know, in his insane asylum over there. And then the question becomes, you know, to the extent they're not checking security of people in the vicinity, you have counter protesters where you know you're going to have Trump and Vance under the same roof. Lord knows what could have been done if it were, you know, someone brought something in a vehicle or if you had a group of trained militants. So, yeah, you know, let it happen on purpose, made it happen on purpose, whatever. The event happened until evidence to the contrary. You can hypothesize as to the security weaknesses that facilitated this. But the bottom line is the security met the level of the threat, which was an incompetent LARPing would-be assassin who writes a memorandum or a manifesto basically illustrating the degree to which he thinks he's so capable that he's going to go run in there and do something, you know.
Well, exactly. And then that's what I said Saturday and Sunday after I had time to research it. I said, looks like a real guy before the manifesto came out. All that still looks like low-level security, which they admit that they didn't have the highest level of security. So that's a question of who's behind that. And then I love how you're supposed to be in a camp. Either it's staged right away or it's not staged. So I said, is it staged? And then said, I think it probably wasn't. And then Laura Loomer says, I said it was staged. I'm a traitor of the enemy. Everybody else then says, no, you're a traitor saying it wasn't staged. Well, like I'm getting brownie points from Trump or something. Trump attacks me. I just report what I really believe instead of thinking what's popular or what do I want to believe. And I've been doing this 32 years. The left was always the super irrational ones. And the right's still better about it. But a lot of the pro-Trump people are very irrational and don't want to even investigate. A lot of the people that were pro-Trump that now hate him, just everything has to be attributed bad to him. It's beyond a radicalization. It's a dumbing down. What would you call this process?
I say it's tribalism, but I put out a tweet the other day where, like, you know, you say tribalism is not a partisan issue. It's a human condition. And so you're going to see as much tribalism on the right as you are on the left. And right now, because President Trump is in power and the Republican or the conservatives are in power, the tribalism, the shutting down of any dissident voice, the demonizing of anybody who dares criticize is coming from the party that's in power.
That's the perfect word. We are going back to tribalism.
Yeah, but tribalism has, you know, I don't want to say genealogical. I don't want to get smarter than I am, but it has evolutionary reasons for existing.
And it's so a survival mechanism.
It's a survival mechanism, especially when you're, you know, when the party in power is the one that you want to be tribalist for, because that's how you see yourself ensuring your own political preservation. And it explains a lot of the reactions from a lot of the most vocal tribalists out there.
And then the tribalists say, even though this war is disastrous, it's going to kill the recovery, and they don't want to see that. They just think getting behind the leader, cutting off the thinking process, they then see us as enemies of MAGA, even though we're trying to get it back on course. And that's why tribalism is so dangerous.
No, there's no question. Tribalism is effectively, you cease thinking critically, and you start thinking in groupthink. And it's not anything that is unique to the left, it's a human condition. When it comes to this, I mean, look, we are all in the area of conspiracy reality that has traumatized us to immediately see the most wild conspiracies right off the bat and to trust absolutely nothing. I mean, the amount of tweets I see that say, I don't believe a thing the government says. Oh, okay, fine. I mean, I appreciate that. But if the government says you need to drink 2 cups of water a day, I know independently I need to drink 2 cups of water a day. So the fact that the government says something and the government systematically lies doesn't mean that everything they say
exactly.
is false.
Exactly. You've got to be, and when Kennedy does good stuff and releases a bunch of good documents, or Gabbard does, you got to know, realize there's good guys too, not just give up and say everything's bad. But here's an example of tribalism. The Scots couldn't be defeated for 400 years by the British because they were tough and they were tribal. That is a mechanism for survival that is there. But in the modern complex world, when you just go to tribalism like Black Lives Matter or whatever it is, now you switch up the thinking processes. Extremely dangerous. And in the globalist white papers, they talk about as they dumb us down, we're going to become more tribal, which was their goal.
Well, no, absolutely. And people, you think historically tribalism kept civilizations alive for hundreds of years. The reality in politics, however, is that the political tides shift very quickly. And sometimes tribalism doesn't ensure success, it actually ensures failure. And so by shutting down and silencing the dissenting, righteously critical voices, you might ensure your survival for a month or two. But not for the long run, because it's not going to make things any different in reality.
Well, that's right. I mean, Erwin Rommel was a Nazi and was pro-Hitler. But when he started saying Hitler's Russia war and all, we have to do peace, they made him take cyanide. If they'd have listened to him, the Nazis would have survived. But they killed all the generals that told them the truth because the tribalism had kicked in.
No, but absolutely. And so the reality here, the question is going to be, why even have this event? You have J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. I mean, those are number one and number two under the same roof, where you literally have unhinged counter-protesters across the street, people checking into the hotel without any security, apparently, from multiple accounts, not just from this idiot's manifesto. Brendan Strzok, I think there were a number of others reporting, no security whatsoever. And
Carrie Lake. And so, yeah, the scandal is, who did this? Was this a stand-down to get Trump killed?
Another weak security. You can't have this many lapses of security where, had it been someone trained who knew what they were doing, the outcome would have been different.
So, I went to an opera a few months ago in Miami or outside Miami, and it was the same security they had here. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
You have a ticket to get through the first line. Then they check your ticket. You go through magnetometers, and if women had bags, they checked them. This was literally the same level that I went to an opera through at the Hard Rock Cafe.
When I went to the Charlie Kirk Memorial in Arizona, I'm like, I'm realistic. I say, this is just the illusion of safety. It's the illusion of security. But, in this event where you've now had at least three, but it's more like five or six attempts on Donald Trump's life, and you have lapse after lapse after lapse. You had the Butler lapse, which was the Pac-Man perimeter that no one's ever going to tell me makes any sense other than a Lee Hop. And then you have the exact same lapse in Charlie Kirk's assassination. Then you have,
remember the Florida lapse?
Yeah, Ryan Ruth is scouting out a view on the whole four of Mar-a-Lago. And so the security rose to the level of the incompetence of Cole Allen under this particular circumstance. The real question is, what would have happened if it were a trained assassin or someone coming in with a group of trained people, explosives and whatever? And then you get into the conspiracy of people saying, oh, it was a setup so that they can justify the argument to the ballroom. That's why you had all these people tweeting out the logical, obvious thing. The reality is the security issues for the ballroom was the reason for it in the first place. It wasn't a response to this incident. It was the predicating factor to the building the ballroom in the first place. So
that's right. I've also seen insane stuff that trended that Erica Kirk had this stage to make her look like a victim. Totally insane. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And on the other side, it's got the Jerusalem cross. I did come up with that one, which they think is so evil, which I love. It's a beautiful cross. You got that. Look at this bad boy. Look at this bad boy right here. This has got to be the coolest. It's the Spartans from 300, the real event that happened. And they've got all their phalanx with their shields and their spears. I mean, just look at that craftsmanship. Lasered. And look at that. Molon Labe come and take it. Which echoes through time, through the Alamo and everything else. I mean, just bad ass. I bet these sell out today or two. And all the new t-shirts and everything and a bunch of other huge sales. It is insane. This is a $199 value with inscription for just $79. Did you hear that? VIP, $63.99. That'd be like 10 bucks on that. And when you buy two daggers, you get an extra 25% off and can mix and match. This is insane. April 30th is your last chance to get official InfoWars products, probably. So that's a fundraiser, too. Get those. Got a lot of limited edition there as well. Third deal, subscribing at 50% off any supplement. Lock it in the future, canceling time. You just lock in the savings if you want it, not canceling time for free. One click. And get a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy, which is an amazing energy formula and relaxation formulas, free with every order. And it goes on. Fourth deal, mystery gift in everything. These deals are too good. I told them that, actually. These guys are just badass. TheAlexShowStore.com. Funding the Second American Revolution worldwide and pissing off the pedophile Satanist all the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Viva Fry, lawyer, popular talk shows, really smart guy, Viva BarnesLaw.Levels.com, the Viva Fry show on X. Fry is F-R-E-I. Be sure and follow him. Everybody knows who he is. Now, I want to finish up on the Trump thing and where this is going. I want to hit a whole bunch of other big subjects with you, obviously, in the Iran war and more. But here is an AI video. I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning, slept in today, and I go to the Trends on X. The top thing was this AI video. And I noticed like half the people thought it was real, but this is basically what the general public, I think not a consensus, but a majority do think this is what happened and that Trump wanted to play victim. Listen, I'm a critic of Trump when I got something real I can prove, but I just can't, because something's popular, go along with it and say it and agree with it, that, okay, then we know for sure Trump was part of this to play hero. There are a bunch of Democrats who want to kill him. I've had people trying to kill me. There is political violence from them, so you can't just discount that. Here's the short AI video that basically used real video composites, and it is very convincing that you're, like, reading Trump's mind. Here it is.
What the fuck is this Israeli magician talking about? Will he shut the fuck up already? Any minute now. Come on, I need this ballroom. Where's the damn assassin? Finally. Works every time.
Come on. Come on, Spider Cash. Now's your time to shine. I can't do it. Not tonight. Not tonight.
Don't look at her. Do not look at her, Bobby. I'm finally free. This is it. Sweet freedom.
Butter chicken, tikka masala, biryani, naan, samosa, tandoori chicken, curry, dal vindaloo, palak paneer.
Obviously that's a joke, but I saw him acting like it was real or taking guess. Oh, this is the truth. Now here's that clip I mentioned of the Fox reporter who is sitting with Caroline Leavitt's husband. She's up on the stage, and he says, hey, you need to be really careful tonight. Then her phone cuts out. And people think, oh, that's a conspiracy. Well, if you're watching all the shows that night, there were so many people on the phone, they were all cutting out. But they need to answer the question now, because this is out, because this could be serious. What did you hear was coming? You know, was there a stand down? Here's the clip.
I want to just quickly tell you, I was sitting next to Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary's husband. He was one of our guests. He was seated right next to me. And, you know, right as the dinner was starting, you know, the national anthem happened, and then he kind of leaned over and said, you know, I watched you on TV, you did a great job, you need to be very safe. And he was just very serious when he said that to me. And he kind of looked around the room and he said, you know, there are some...
Sounds like we lost Aisha's phone there. And this happens, by the way, especially when you have so many people attempting to utilize the same cell service at the same time. I did want to add this while we had a moment.
And then I checked. We never found out what she was to say. Viva Fry, I think she needs to go public. We need to hear what Caroline Leavitt's husband said.
Yeah, but they're stating the obvious. I mean, it's true. It's always true. And whenever you go out, people say, be safe, you know, keep your head on a swivel. These are things that people say at all events, especially when there's an event that the president is present at. I mean, the reality is, I would imagine they're talking more like when you go walk among the protesters, you people who are of the conservative right have no, you know, identifiable faces. There's protesters across the street. You're going to have to go mingle with these people and they want to harm you. You know, Trump and JD.
Sure, we're not trying to cover up a conspiracy. We're going with the most logical Occam's razor thing. Maybe it's something else, but exactly. This is a dangerous place to be. They've told Trump it's too dangerous. Don't do it. Here he is in a low security environment. I would be concerned, too.
You know, that's the major issue. I mean, you presume they cordon off the area, but, you know, and I go back to the Charlie Kirk Memorial, where the biggest deterrent was that they made everybody walk in for the last, you know, mile or 2 miles from the event. And that's a deterrent for, you know, bad faith actors, car bombs, and et cetera. But, you know, people can stake things out the night before. You're dealing with a highly populated area that doesn't seem to be closed off to the public, except for the two floors of the event. And there are many, many ways to stage something, stage it not in the sense of artificially, to coordinate an event, to have a series of events, an explosion, and then, you know, many more
well,
than one
person. Well, let's raise it. You could have a hotel employee, this was months out announced, could decide to do it. What if a police officer, look at who killed Anwar Sadat, was one of the military in the parade. That shows the esprit de corps, our military and police aren't perfect, but the fact of the vetting process that we don't see cops and Secret Service killing presidents. Imagine if we were like an Islamic country, that's a regular deal.
But yeah, well, I mean, that was my thought as well. You know, if they're going to do it, I don't know who makes the food for the president. I presume he's got his own separate meal. But even the staff, the hotel, the bottom line, it was an extremely exposed area. Probably not ideal to have number one and number two under the same roof at the same time when there are agitators across the street and known threats. One thing, just to get back to Larry Johnson's statement earlier on, where people were saying, look at how fake this is. They took J.D. Vance out 20 seconds before Trump. My retort to that is, whatever happens, you're going to criticize it. Someone might say they took Trump out and they didn't even know if they were taking him into a secure or dangerous, more dangerous spot. So, you know, the idea that they didn't rush him off stage, where are they going to rush him to? They don't yet know exactly where the threat is coming from and if they're moving him into a more dangerous spot.
Well, then so, Trump, minutes later, pushed back to the entrance behind the curtains to the stage. And they go, oh, look, he knew it wasn't a threat. No, it turns out he was saying, no, we're having the event go forward.
It's we're in the realm of no matter what happens, people are going to say it's staged. No matter what happens, they're going to interpret it in the way to fuel their foregone conspiracy theories. There are good faith actors who sincerely don't believe and want to try to understand. There are legitimate bad faith actors who want to sow discord, sow confusion. And I believe that there are a number of, you know, funded agitators who are out there spreading conspiry theories.
Sure.
On the one hand.
Sure. So how do we navigate this? Because now the Great Awakening's here, but it has this weird derivative or blowback in that some people just don't believe anything. And you're right. I mean, take on the other side. Laura Loomer attacked me a whole bunch in huge posts that got millions of views saying, Jones says it's totally staged. He's scum. And she knew full well I was saying the opposite, but she just did that because I'm on the target list, and she obviously works for Israel, in my view. And so with her, she now lies out of hand. She's always been crazy, but she just, I mean, but imagine lying. And even when people counted her with hundreds of posts saying, no, he says it's real, she just kept doubling down. Like, what is that cuckoo town?
Well, first of all, it's also the price that comes with notoriety for our Sunday show with Robert Barnes. And I put in that the title was Another Attempt on Trump. And I put a question mark just as in to say, like, a hyperbolic, oh, my God, another attempt on Trump. And then people interpreted from that title before the show even started that I was somehow undermining it or saying it was staged when, the number one thing people can do is just take 24 hours and wait until the news comes in before saying the day of the Charlie Kirk assassination, Israel just shot Charlie Kirk. But you are now a target, Alex, in terms of a political target where no one's going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And so you have to make sure that no one's going to even take for granted that you make a joke. They're going to pretend it was a serious statement. But the attacks coming out, and Laura Loomer came out and blamed it on Joe Kent. And I'm like, first of all, I said, Joe Kent has been out of the administration for a month. Kash Patel, in his lawsuit against The Atlantic last week, was touting the successes of the FBI in terms of having taken down these domestic terrorist organizations. And it's just motivated reasoning. You know, when I was younger, I used to play golf with my dad, and I would often be in the woods. And he says, whenever you're in the woods looking for your golf ball, anything that's white is going to catch your attention, and you're going to think anything that's white is your ball. When you are arguing from conclusions, you are going to just take something and jam it into fitting your conclusions. People hate Joe Kent. We still don't know what the classified information that he leaked was. I mean, we still don't know if he was under investigation, but set that aside. That defamation campaign is already, long past. To blame it on Joe Kent, who also, from what I understand in the post-God community noted, was involved in international counterterrorism, not domestic counterterrorism, but you have Kash Patel literally in that Atlantic defamation lawsuit touting the successes of the FBI. And if it's anybody's fault, and I don't even think it's Kash Patel's fault, because the security rose to the level of the threat for this occasion.
Sure, the point is, it is preposterous to blame Joe Kent. It's just, it's like absolutely insane.
It is like all roads lead to the foregone conclusion that you want to keep getting out, keep beating this dead horse, make Joe Kent public enemy number one because of the politics behind it. It was the
because
most
he dares to challenge who I believe is her obvious employer, Netanyahu.
Because he dares to say what he thinks is the right thing to do, despite it being politically unpopular. And I mean, I had Joe Kent on shortly after that. And, I did ask him at the time. I said, you knew that what you were doing was going to be politically damaging. Why decide to do it that way? Because
he said in his letter, he said, I'm doing it to get Trump to course correct.
Yeah, I mean, because, there have been other members of the administration that have left, and I said, they're not going to make a stink, and they're not going to make a statement that's going to undermine the administration that they want to succeed. And Joe Kent obviously thinks this was the way to do it, to force a course correction, to cause this administration to succeed.
Hey, why do you think I said 25th Amendment if he wants to destroy whole civilization overnight? Didn't mean 25th Amendment. It means if he keeps doing it, I knew Trump would come after me. I knew a lot of listeners would hate me for it, but we had to stop total war. I mean, that's our job.
Well, the amazing thing is, first of all, when I say they don't give the enemy the benefit of the doubt and they wouldn't take a hyperbolic statement as hyperbole, they'll take it as a literal statement of fact. You knew you were walking into it when I heard that ring out. That's it. They're gonna pretend it was not hyperbolic, totally serious. That they're trying to stage a coup, and that's how you do it. After all, you publicly broadcast it to tens of millions of people. But when I had on someone from the very much the pro Iran side, and I'm like, if that tweet, and the argument is that tweet was never meant to be literally, so you can't, you can't read into the loss of faculties that way. And I said, well, if it was intended to be serious and if it was intended to be literal, would you then hypothetically contemplate the 25th Amendment? And then they say, well, no, not really. We'd have to go through Congress, and we do everything else. You know, except for invoking the 25th.
I said it was to get Trump's attention.
Well, first of all, even when you said it, and I, you know, the people ragging on Barnes, even when you said it as a hyperbolic, you know, statement, Barnes came out and said, no, it's even harder than impeachment. You're not going to 25th if you can't impeach. So what you likely need to do is get some form of, you know, another form of intervention.
Yeah, put Trump in a straitjacket, which was hyperbole to get his attention.
Look, you're never going to get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to those types of statements. But the bottom line, you know,
I'd make the statement again. If he starts saying a whole civilization dies tonight, never to return, and all the Israeli pundits are saying, use nukes, I will come out and say it again. I knew exactly what I was doing. I didn't build up a giant audience to do all this to sit around on the sidelines. I'm trying to do good work. And that's the whole point of this is just groveling to Trump and his worst advisors is the worst course. We need to be all hands on deck on his ass, getting him back on the straight and narrow.
Well, I mean, that is, you know, back in the day, back with the initial strikes in July, where people were saying, call them influencers as the most, easiest way to denigrate their reach. If someone has influence, it's not because they're an influencer. It's because they put out ideas that convince people and that influence.
It's because they're popular pundits with popular analysis and popular stories. And it's people that have trust with the public.
Well, I would say popular people will demean that and say, well, popularity doesn't.
We'll just call them respected leaders.
We'll call them, you influence because of the quality of the thought. You don't influence based on, you know, low-level, low-IQ propositions.
Well, if we're so dumb, why has he got to respond to us?
Yeah, well, that's the other question. If you're so dumb, on the one hand, you're doing it for clicks, Alex, but you're also losing audience members, like these mutually incompatible attacks, no matter what happens.
Let's be clear. Overall, I don't care, because it always comes back even bigger. I lost audience and lost money doing that, okay? But I don't do that for that, but I see it. So, yeah, it's the opposite.
Well, but that's the irony. If you gain an audience, they call you a grifter. If you lose an audience, they say you're so dumb and you're losing an audience and that's how wrong you are. So again, it's the motivated reasoning. Whatever happens, they're going to spin it to justify their criticism.
Well, I respect my audience enough and because the majority understand it and totally agree with me. In fact, they're more mad than I am at Trump. But it's still a large minority. I don't want to lose them, but I respect them enough to tell them what I really think and then think they're going to be smart enough to come back, which has always happened.
You know, what's amazing, and I face it to a lesser degree, and I'm not even sure, you know, how organic or authentic it is, but people say, you've come out, Viva, and said things that are a betrayal to your audience. I'm like, first of all, my audience listens to me because I say what I honestly and sincerely believe, and I have that audience because they come to hear what I have to say. If I wanted to be captured by anybody, you know, there's no difference between audience capture, sponsor capture, and censorship capture. And if anybody thinks that they're going to say, well, I used to follow you, but now you're saying things I don't like and you're betraying your audience, so you better shut up or, you know, say what I want you to say. Well, thanks. I didn't want any form of capture in the first place. And that's why you're here, because there is no form of capture.
I was about to say, I turned down $50 million a year from the Democrat Party 7 years ago before they came after me to not sell out. So I sure as hell ain't going to sell out because you unfollow me. Plus, the way my brain works, I think yours is the same. I'm so into logic, so into what I really believe the truth is, and trying to figure it out like a puzzle or like a bird dog trying to get a bird, that it's just instinctive. It's like I couldn't even imagine having to gauge what I did and worry about it and then see with what I thought was most popular and go that way. That's stagnancy. A leader does what they think is right, even when it's unpopular, to lead people out of it.
No, I had an experience today where I forget who the leftist rag of a journalist was, and he puts out some pithy tweet that says, I thought D.C. was safe. What happened, Trump? And I respond to him, and I said, like, A, D.C. is still exponentially safer now than it was under Biden. What happened here is a lefty lunatic decided to come in from California bearing arms to wreak havoc. And then a response to my tweet is, go back to Canada. Like, what bothers me, it doesn't bother me that someone doesn't like what
That's
I have
right.
to say.
They never intellectually respond to the logical discussion. They just jump to some other gotcha.
Well, yes, but typically that stupid jackass of a response came from the left. It came from when I would criticize Kamala Harris.
I'm seeing pro-Trump, white-pilled, neocon, never-Trumper people. They hit me with Sandy Hook now and Democrat talking points.
Yeah, I know. They hit you with, oh, hey, have you paid off your billion-dollar judgment yet? To which one would respond, has Trump paid off the $485 million injustice that came out of New York or the $80 million injustice that came from E. Jean Carroll? Like, this is what pisses me off. It's not that I might lose a subscriber, a follower. I don't give a sweet bugger all. I was doing this with nothing back in the day and was doing it out of the passion. What bothers me is seeing people who I thought were on the side of reason, rational thought, open discourse, open dialogue, First Amendment constitutional rights, acting like the exact same buffoons that the left were acting like back under Biden.
And that's because they're getting talking points. It's a Politico. So let's shift gears into that. Then I want to get into the war. I want to get into the kill switches in all the cars, not just here, but all over the modern world, where that's going as the public awakens. But obviously, we're closing Thursday. Well, there's a miracle. There is a hearing. They've obviously gotten word at the Onion Fund about Bloomberg. That's the case. All this is going on. We'll have the Alex Jones Network kick on the next day. People can find all that, obviously, you know, all the sites and on X and everywhere else. But you followed my case quite a bit. You obviously co-host with one of the lawyers that worked on it, so you know it even better than I do from a legal parlance. But just looking at what they've done and knowing that the CIA and FBI is on record behind it, funding it, and then having Trump come out and say in his post, yeah, you're the bad Sandy Hook guy, your brain's fried, you owe $1.5 billion, you're a joke, when the same Paul Weiss law firm quarterbacked all this, that settled with him for $40 million and admitted they engaged, quote, in illegal activity. And they settled for $40 million in public service, and they wrote off last year part of their public service suing me. So they're writing off public service for $40 million. Part of it is suing me, and Trump is literally with the Paul Weiss law firm, with his Democrat Party lawyer that's now the head of the DOJ, in ABC News saying, yeah, Alex Jones is a crackpot, and killing Ed Martin's investigation into their weaponization against me, which is open and shut.
Alex, you know, the old expression, who said it? The song, you always hurt the ones you love, or familiarity breeds contempt. And again, this is not destructive criticism against Trump. This is constructive criticism. It's disappointing to see anybody use the lawfare that was done against you, but especially someone who is the victim of the very same type of lawfare, who's still the victim of it, using it as though it was somehow righteous and legitimate against you.
Let's be clear. He has the same tire tracks of the same law firm over him. It's not like he's using the same tactics. He's siding with the very group.
I would say take it as flattery that he was so offended by your criticism that this is how he had to respond. And people are human. People act out of ego. People act rashly. And you hope that, I still hope that Trump comes back and makes amends with Marjorie Taylor Greene, with Thomas Massie.
I do too. God, I'd love to salvage him. Do you think there's any chance?
Well, I say touch wood. That's the way success will be reached. That's the way a populist invigoration come midterms will be reached.
By the way, and you know this. All the polls show it. His attacking his original base is disastrous.
People are just going to disregard the polls depending on who they come from. And they're going to go back to that CNN poll that says 100% support what he's doing now, as if CNN, which is fake news, is coming out with suddenly accurate news when it comes to bogus polls that nobody believes.
By the way, the first tweet attacking me, or True Social, it's crazy. He goes, oh, remember fake CNN? And later he endorses CNN in the poll.
Well, that's where, you know, I said this when I was, I think it was on Patrick Bet David, where it's like, you know, I read that post and I just read it as a lawyer, as a student of philosophy from a logic perspective. In one and the same post, you can't say CNN is fake news and also CNN gives me 100% approval rating. And so to the extent they do that, and I believe they are fake news, if you view that approval rating 100% as sabotage, you will certainly digest that bullcrap pull from CNN accordingly. But it is, look, you get insulted and people lash out.
Let's go back to this, because as a legal mind, you read that, either the person's crazy and has dementia, or they think you're an idiot. Like, it's like a sick joke. CNN's totally fake. Nothing they say is true. By the way, they say I'm totally popular and I'm 100%.
I'm not saying this to cover my ass, because you don't only see bad logic among people with dementia. So, you know, people often employ bad logic, inconsistent thought, inconsistent reasoning, even in one of the same posts. It's the purpose of debates.
That'd be like if I said on one of those review sites, I got food poisoning at this place. It's absolutely horrible. The food's crap. The service is terrible. By the way, it's the best restaurant in the world, and I'm going there tomorrow.
Yeah, someone would say you're being paid to say that. No, the bottom line, they are mutually incompatible, illogical statements to make in one and the same statement. It's the power of debate where you can flesh it out. And again, I hope to sensitize the administration to the fact that CNN is fake news. Maybe CNN is now saying it's 100% because they're like trying to buy into the good graces of Trump after their whatever mergers coming up in the future. But the bottom line, yeah, it's a mutually incompatible statement to make in one and the same statement. And then the question is, you have to look at it accordingly. And maybe, just maybe, CNN doesn't have Trump's best interests in their mind. And maybe, just maybe, them putting out that bogus poll that nobody believes except for the most siloed sycophants, maybe they're doing it for their own political
agenda. And it was only done because the corporation that owns it is pro-Israel and are Likudniks and want war. 100% believe in your war. Trump, 100% of MAGA's behind you. No, I'd say more than half is totally pissed off at you and freaked out. So, you know, to me, the logic here is very, very simple. We've been proven right about the Strait of Hormuz being closed. We're 58, 59 days in. Internally, they admit it's a total disaster. Should I have just gone along and said, yeah, let Trump go into a disaster? I mean, you would think he would wake up by now.
You would do that only if you wanted to be an intellectual sellout or someone who wanted to ensure access. And that's those are the camps of people who have been the cheerleaders since this went down. And you see how it ages. They can never be wrong. It's not a war. It's just strategic strikes. Okay, it's a war, but it won't be a prolonged war. Oh, it's not a new war because this war has been going on for 47 years. They can never admit that, okay, we made a mistake and now we have to reassess. It's the continual moving
and
of the
goalposts. And Trump's declared victory 30 times. He said we've had regime change like 15 times. He says the Strait of Hormuz is open 11 times.
It wasn't supposed to be regime change. There was not supposed to be regime change. You know, that was put there. And then people saying, no, you're wrong. This is what you voted for because you didn't listen to the Barbara Walters interview from 1987. So,
Trump has dementia, but he definitely sounds delusional now to say one day, I don't need the Strait. They can figure it out. Next day, open the effing Strait. We've got to open it. I mean, he's just all over. And now, well, I killed their leadership, so that's regime change, though the regime's still there. I mean, it's like...
Well, Alex, you had the same people celebrating that the straits were closed. All of these tankers empty were coming to America to get crude oil. And then when people were saying, well, that's going to jack up prices here, they're going to say, well, that's the short-term pain for the long-term gain. That was one talking point. And then when the straits were announced open the same Friday of that week, then they're like, hoorah, success, the straits are open. The same people who said, success, the straits are closed, are now cheerleading, hooray, the straits are open.
And then he blockaded it again because they blocked it, so he could say he blocked it. And they went, yay, more 10 DHS.
Well, the bottom line is, you know, if you are intellectually consistent and you fear any form of God, you're going to be true to yourself and you're going to be true to others and you're going to say what you feel is right and righteous and well justified under the circumstances, however unpopular it is.
I just know watching the flip flopping makes me feel insane. I mean,
it feels like gaslighting a little bit, but it's war, and so, you know, things are tumultuous.
The first casualty of war is the truth. So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.